From the trails, woods, and waters of the Great Lakes State to the Michigan Talk Network, it's Wild Michigan with your host, Duran Martinez.
Welcome to Wild Michigan. Duran Martinez, your host, back from the Easter weekend vacation. So good to have you here. Our website, wildmichiganradio.com. You can find us on Facebook as well, facebook.com/wildmichigan. Thanks to our sponsors, our good friends at Lucky Buck, Deer Mineral. Time now, man. The time is now to get your Lucky Buck out. I've had a doe in my backyard hitting the Lucky Buck spot. And she looks like she is ready to burst. Maybe twins we could be expecting at the old Wild Michigan compound. And it's been great to see the does coming in, the wood ducks coming into the backyard. And I'm waiting for the turkeys. Not that I can hunt them where I live, but I'm waiting for the turkeys to come in because we have them coming in as well. Also want to thank our friends at HHA Sports, the number one name in single pin. Archery sight technology, and Darton Archery, celebrating 65 years in Michigan. And thanks to those guys. We love them all, appreciate them all, and we'll have them on the show here in the next couple of weeks. But now we've got a lot of ice out situations, unless you're living in the UP and you're on the Great Lakes up near the Whitefish Point area where the big freighters are stuck in the ice. Now, our ice is pretty much gone here in southern Michigan. And while most people are thinking about walleye, thinking about steelhead right now, which there's nothing wrong with that because that's pretty much been on my brain, there's still a lot of early spring panfish to be had right now. And we're going to talk to my good friend Brian Brosdahl, find out about where to find and how to find them. Bro, welcome back to the show, man. Good talking to you again.
Hey, how you doing, Durant?
Doing well. Look, you've taught us about the green weeds, the vegetation, but now we've got ice out. Those green weeds may be a little tougher to find, but we're just getting the boat out, and we're actually going to do some light jigging or some really light slip bobber fishing for panfish.
Oh, absolutely. This is a great time of year to get out and look for panfish. As the shallow water's warm, one thing I want everybody to key in on is darker bays, muddy bottoms. If you're in a lake that has a little bit of a tannin stain, like a darker color water, that's going to warm faster. But remember, the vegetation could still grow or start under the ice, and some of these little sprouts coming up are magnet to fish. If you get in any muddy areas, usually where the lily pads or the wild rice bloom in the summertime, look in these areas, and if you have, I use an OctaView camera, but I look if I see sprouts, and I also look for fish. It really helps if you drift really slowly, you can sneak up on them and see them. But if not that, pitch, have a slip bobber or a clip-on bobber, because you don't need to fish really deep. You're fishing really shallow water. Sometimes the shallow is a foot or 2 feet of water, and pitch into the shallows. You don't want a big clunky bobber that's going to splash and spook the pans away, but crappies, bluegills, and even jumbo perch are up in the shallows right now. Perch have spawning on their mind. They usually lay their eggs and are out of the shallows between the water of temperatures of 40 to 50 degrees, but they come up and they lay their eggs in strings on the weed bed tops, even if they're dead, or they'll use parts of, if there's old trees or anything that could stick their eggs on, they come out like, look like pantyhose all over the weed beds. But if the perch are gone, the males still linger. They're awesome. They have more meat on them anyway. The females' bellies get distended, and there's not a lot of meat on the females. But the chasing jumbo perch, ice out, spring perch fishing is absolute blast. Bluegills, you can really get a bunch of bluegills right now. It's a lot of fun, and the key is warmer water. Warm water gets the insects moving, gets the minnows in there. If you find a bunch of minnows and you find a lot of insect life, there's going to be a lot of fish in there. And they jam into small areas. That's the fun part. You catch a lot of fish.
And that's pretty cool, too, because when, you know, everybody's out walleye fishing, steelhead fishing, now's the time. You're probably going to be pretty alone because there's not a lot of people that are going to have their boats out. If you got a little aluminum boat, maybe like a 14-footer or something with a tiller on it, you can jump on out there and do some quick fishing.
Oh, absolutely. A light boat is just awesome. I have a small duck boat, a 14-footer. Not very seaworthy, but good enough. And actually take the 15-horse 7-root off of it, and I just use a trolling motor because I want to push it out. You know, there's some boggy areas and there's some swampy areas, and I have some wader boots, and I'll push the boat over. Some of these panfish lakes that are really good don't have the best accesses. Some do. But most of the time, that's all I need is that trolling motor and one battery, and I'll get my boat out there. And you want to fan cast the shallows with a small firefly jig, or you know, take your ice fishing jigs from winter. Don't put them away. Don't pack them away for the summer just yet. They work great this time of year. Hang a wax worm or red worm, just a chunk of a red worm on there, and pitch the shallows. Darker water, you know, use brighter colors, and golds and metallics work good. Feather jigs are awesome. One of my favorite ways to fish panfish, a small 32nd ounce feather jig. Even go smaller than that, you can go up to a 64th, and actually where the wax worm is bigger, it makes the lure really big. It's twice the size of some of the presentations we use. But fan casting the shallows with small baits and finding a fish. Once you hit a fish, you know, that's a pocket, and that fish just gave the school away. So fan cast them. Once you find them, drop the anchor. But dropping the anchor and then fan casting, that's a lot of work. So just kind of drift around, use your trolling motor to work the areas, and just find them. There's going to be a fish that will give away the school.
No, and that's true. Brian Brosdahl is our guest. They tend to school up, you know, anyway, and smaller, lighter. We've talked about this for years, man, ever since we met you, is smaller and lighter. Keep the small, like, Northland jigs out, what you would use in the wintertime, because they're still eating small. They really haven't gotten to that real fast-moving pace yet, because the water temperature is still kind of down.
Yes, exactly. And the whole thing is, even in the spring, when the sun, you get a bright sunny day, you'll see a lot of insects on the surface, and sometimes the midges will start right away. It takes a little bit of warmer water. If the water gets in the 40s and 50s, you'll see a lot of insect activity. Everything's after those, the minnows, the bluegills, crappies. They can feed on plankton, so they're not so pressed in going after minnows, but they'll eat a minnow if you get a chance. One thing you got to remember, crappie minnows are awesome sometimes, because you could, if you know the fish are there, you could pitch them in there. That minnow's on the hook, injured, hooked through the dorsal fin, let it sit there and work. That's a great way to fish, and they're suckers for it. They'll eat it. As far as bluegills, keep it moving. My bobber doesn't sit still when I pitch, and they use the bobber as a strike indicator. Basically, just like your steelhead fish, you wait for the thing to dart out, and then you sweep a hook set. Go to rip their lips off. Panfish aren't like trout or walleyes with heavy, bony mouths. Mm-hmm. Bluegills have a little bit more, they have a tougher mouth, so you can really set into them. But crappies, if you sweep and rip into a crappie's mouth using braid, there's a good chance you're just going to rip the lips. Remember, their mouths are really thin membrane that could tear real easy. Don't swing them if they're big into the boat. You actually got to net the bigger crappies. And it's a lot of fun. And if you don't have a light panfish gear, I use St. Croix ultralight panfish gear when I can, because it's more of a battle. Because panfish, actually, for their size, have mm-hmm. a lot of fight. Bluegills do also. But if you just got walleye gear, lighter, maybe a medium light walleye rod, you can turn that into a panfish rod just by adding a small 3-pound test, 2 or 3 feet of line at the tip mono or a fluorocarbon.
All right, Brian Brosdahl is our guest. Bros Guide Service over there in Minnesota. You can find him on Facebook. Look for Brian Brosdahl. And there's a link, of course, on our website, wildmichiganradio.com. You can find him in the Meet the Experts page. We're going to come back and talk with Bro here. He's going to talk about Little River fishing for walleye, and I'm going to tempt him with thoughts of Detroit and how beautiful that is in the spring here in Wild Michigan.
Hey, this is Mark Zona from Zona's Awesome Fishing Show, and you're listening to my guy, Duran Martinez, on Wild Michigan.
I'm on a first name basis at the tackle shop. I got a charge account running up nonstop. They ought to give me my own parking spot. I can't fit another plug in my tackle box.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I am Duran Martinez, being brought to you in part by HHA Sports, the number one name in single pen archery sight technology. And they've got some big announcements coming our way. We're going to talk to Chris Hamm over the next couple of weeks from HHA Sports, find out what's going on with them. Some great products and a great sponsor here on Wild Michigan. Counting down the time to County Clare, Ireland. We have put the official countdown clock on our website at wildmichiganradio.com. There's also a link, a video to County Clare, Ireland, where we're going to be heading over the first part of May. We'll be dapping for wild brown trout, fly fishing for pike on Loch Derg over off the mighty River Shannon in Ireland. Thanks to Owen O'Hagan and everybody over there in Ireland that's helped put this whole thing together. We are heading out and we'll be doing the show from there. And we'll bring that back to you here with video and with audio and all the things that we see. But right now we're talking with Brian Brosdahl, a longtime friend of ours. So, bro, let's figure out how this works. I get to go to Ireland, but I still haven't had the chance to fish with you.
Oh, it's crazy. And, you know, Duran, you had a chance last year when I was fishing the Detroit River from the National Walleye Tour, and let me tell you something. I absolutely love that river. And should we call it a river or should we call it a strait? Because it's actually a strait between two great lakes, but I just can't believe how great the fishing is there. I absolutely love that place, and it was a crash course in that type of fishery, you know, heavy current.
Yes.
And you know, there's a lot of people. Everybody there is having a great time. I've never been on a body of water where everybody's so into it. They're all friendly. I just loved it, and I just hated to leave.
You know, the one thing our good friend Lance Valentine from Walleye 101 preaches, misery loves company, and when you see a lot of people in one spot not catching fish, you need to move.
Oh, absolutely. There's a lot of water there. There's I'm guessing from St. Clair all the way to where it dumps into Erie, there's over 20 miles of river there. And I had great success everywhere from right in front of downtown to the High Bridge. The High Bridge was a great spot, loaded up with fish. And a lot of what I call eater sizes, I'm more to the small to mediums, mm-hmm. and just loads up with eater size fish. And I still had a blast when I was in the tournament looking for big fish. And some of the down sandbars below the islands, north of Wyandotte, that was a really great fishing. And then, of course, the candy canes, the smokestacks.
Yeah.
Don't put anything down there that you're attached to, because I swear, one time, I think I had a lure on for 3 seconds.
You know, that's what they say about the Trenton Channel, and I'll say this publicly, you know, take your tackle box and just dump it over the side of the boat, because that's about what you're going to be doing over there with all the debris and everything that's in that river. But
oh yeah,
back to the fact that it is such a great fishery. So I take it vertical jigging, 1 ounce jig, and that fast of a current, not really been your thing much.
Oh, no, actually, if the current's really fast, you want to go heavier. If you can get by with, you go as light as possible, but you want to stay vertical. Remember to follow the current. My favorite thing is to actually follow the current. If I got other people in the boat, I'll run the boat sideways if I can, so we're covering a big swath. If the fish are on a sharp edge, then you got to follow the current nose first downriver. And what I mean follow the current, when you drop your line, your line goes a direction, you follow your line. And when your line's vertical, you're going at the right speed with the current. But one trick I learned on the Detroit, it's just a few tenths over the speed that you're going downriver triggers bites sometimes. And a lot of times you're going through a spot really fast, and other times you could take your Minn Kota and spot lock, or you could anchor up and catch the fish as they're moving through. If the fish are moving up, or they're always moving up and down, and constantly on the move, especially in a river. But if you find a pool, you can anchor up and you can vertically jig them. But most of my fishing was done sliding with the current, following contours, and chasing my line to keep it vertical. But sometimes going just a little bit faster than the current, not a half a mile, not a full mile an hour, but a few tenths over, triggers the fish. And you're in a spot for just a split second, but gold colors. Have every color under the rainbow with you, and bring some plastic flukes, some impulse, some ringworms. All that stuff works, but the flukes there in that gin clear water, the fish concentrate on them, and they'll hit them. So if you have some flukes, stop at your local bait shops as you're pulling in there. There's great shops there, and they all have all kinds of plastics for you to try. But any kind of blues and silver sparkles worked really well there. And I did so well on those flukes and plastics. I tried them out on Erie. Not the same deal. And but up in the river, they love them.
No, it's true. And, you know, we've used so many different colors. And I mean, pink was a hot color one day on our minnows that we used on our fluke minnows over there. Sometimes white is the color. And then a lot of people, there's a little place there on St. Clair, a little tackle joint that you can buy whatever color jig heads that you can find. You know, the antifreeze color we used was always been very popular. Even the Wyandotte worms. And I mean, there's a lot of different ways you can go at it. But, you know, we know that Northland's one of your sponsors, and we've worked very well with them, and they have a lot of great plastics as well. So, I mean, it's just, don't be afraid to change things up. Don't use the same thing, because you never know what they're going to be like. And with that water, you know, you're getting down to about nothing with clarity. You know, that 1 ounce jig's really going to do you a lot of favors down the bottom.
Oh, absolutely. And there was a tournament that was won using jigging wraps and then loading up the bait with the minnows. Tried everything like that, tried blade baits. And it boiled down to using fluke-style baits on jig heads. I did have a co-angler fishing with me that was using a fireball jig head and a stinger, and he got a lot of big fish on the stinger.
Right.
They wafted at it. They missed it. But remember, don't put the stinger into the bait. You got to let the stinger hang free, because when they suck at it and they miss it, it's going to bring the stinger to the mouth, because the stinger is the lightest part of your presentation. And I was doing well with what I was doing. He was doing well with what he was doing. Sometimes he used gold. Sometimes he used he was switching colors all the time. One of my favorites is gumball flavor, or gumball color, I should say. The pink and chartreuse was an awesome standby for me. I like the gammy jigs, because I want that really, really sharp hook, and they don't break. If you're using braid and you hook into some wood, you could actually bend them and then bend it back to really strong, and then you don't lose your whole deal. But use a swivel if you can, and then 2 feet of line, so that if you do break off, you can have segments of line tied to jigs that you can just clip back on with the clip. When you're in a river, and if you're using two lines, you know, that's a lot to do. I tell people, whatever you're best at, if you catch a lot of fish on one line and do it well, or fish two lines kind of so-so, I'd rather have you use one line and do it well.
All right, Brian Brosdahl, check him out on our website, wildmichiganradio.com. Thanks so much for the info, man, and good fishing to you, bro.
Hey, thanks, Duran.
All right, got more coming your way, whole another segment. We're going to talk turkey next here on Wild Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network. Get down in that Georgia clay and alpine peaks, at the bottom of a real tall cold drink, chilling to some Skinner or some Mohawk.
This is Nick Munch of Michael Waddell's Bone Collector, and you're listening to my main man, Duran Martinez, on Wild Michigan.
Rifle in a gun rack, hanging in the back blast, buck knife on my belt, ain't no lamp for sale around here.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, your host all over the Great Lakes State. Man, so good to have you along. Find our podcast at wildmichiganradio.com. Thanks to our friends at HHA Sports. They got some announcements coming here in April. We will tell you all about what HHA is up to. In the meantime, you can go to our website, wildmichiganradio.com. Click on the link for HHA and check out all their awesome single pin archery sights. You will be impressed, believe me. The quality, the American-made quality, is definitely there. Going to speak with Mike Morgan right now, Mojo Outdoors. You know them for their spinning wing decoys, but I want to talk a little bit about turkey hunting. Mike, welcome to the show. How are you, sir?
Man, I'm great this morning. How you doing?
Good. We caught you for 5 minutes because you've been on the road a lot. You've been out chasing tails, basically, chasing turkeys.
I sure have. We got started off here. I live in Mississippi, and we started off about the 15th, and it's been every day pretty much except today.
The one day we get you, you know, you still have to work, but we appreciate you joining us. I want to talk a little about spot and stock turkey hunting. You know, southern regions, turkey hunting's been big for a long time. We've been doing it here for a while, but it's just really starting to catch on. And now we're seeing, because of things like YouTube and some of the TV channels, man, we're seeing this spot and stalk. We know how good turkey's eyesight is. We know how, you know, how adept they are to their surroundings, but you can still sneak up on them, like in your face sneak up. And you guys have really helped develop a product, which we will get to in a little bit. But talk about this spot and sneak up on these turkeys.
You know, back years ago when I first started turkey hunting, one of the guys that I turkey hunted with, when he would kill a turkey, he would cut the fan off of it. And if we got into a situation where we were setting up on the edge of a field or something and we got a gobbler hung up out in a field, he would take that fan, that real fan that he had killed maybe the day before, a week before, whatever, and he would pop that fan. He would get it in a folded up position. He would unfold it and just kind of wave it back and forth. And a lot of times, that's all it took for that gobbler to see to where it would make him come on in closer. Now, at that time, we weren't actually sneaking up on them. We were just sitting on the edge of the woods in the same place, but we were giving them a little movement with that tail, with that fan, and we'd pop it and close it and pop it and close it and move it around just like he was out there strutting and showing off and doing his deal. And it would help those turkeys, you know, get closer to us to where we can get a shot at them. And we did that for years and years and years. But about, I guess it was 3 or 4 years ago, we talked to some boys that were up in Iowa, and they had really taken it to the next level. You know, again, it's been around. I could imagine the Indians doing this back in the old days, you know, wrapping up a bunch of grass and taking a turkey fan and sneaking up on a turkey. But what they were doing is they were taking a decoy and actually aggressively going to the turkey itself. And that's, we helped develop a decoy they call the scoot and shoot. And what we would do is we would, after the morning hunt, we would go out and we would set up just like a regular hunt. We would hunt, but if nothing happened, we would wait until later on in the morning when the gobblers got henned up and they got out in these fields and they were, you know, kind of tending their flock right there, and you'd have one big gobbler, maybe two gobblers out there, and five or six hens, seven hens, and they would be right out in the middle of a wide open field. I mean, nothing out there for 200 yards higher than a 2-inch tall grass. And what we figured out that you could do is we would take a strutting gobbler decoy. Now, we developed one, again, called the scoot and shoot. It had the wings kind of splayed out a little bit to where it would give us more cover. And a fan, it looked like a strutting gobbler. And we would go straight at those gobblers. We would get down and crawl to them, and we would crawl straight at them. And we eventually figured out that the faster and the more on the line you go to them, you get to a certain point to where that gobbler, you're intruding on his area. And when you get to that point, you can see he tucks up and he comes at you and he's wanting to fight. And that's kind of what we call the scoot and shooting method. We would scoot up a little bit, and when we got close enough, I mean, we've had them literally come up to where they ran past the end of the gun barrel and tried to attack the decoy that we're holding on to. But lots and lots of shots are within a yard, 2 yards. I mean, they're just right in your face.
Speaking with Mike Morgan from Mojo Outdoors, Mike, I got to tell you, I'm trying not to, I have so much excitement inside of me right now, because last year, and my season had ended, but I had seen this on YouTube, and I've got a Jake decoy that's kind of a strut, you know, it's kind of a inexpensive decoy. I said, I'm going to see if I can pull this off. You know, no gun, just in camo. And I started going at that strutting turkey, and then he saw me, and he started coming at me. Well, the weird thing was I had a doe in between us, and she got about 10 feet away from me, you know, wanting to see me, wanting to see what was going on. Then she took off, and then, you know, kind of all hell broke loose. Everything went flying everywhere. But to have seen that firsthand and to know what you're talking about, I cannot wait because April 20th starts our season here in Michigan, and I cannot wait to get out and try this. Again, you need to be careful, people. You need to be careful. Know the property you're hunting. If you're on private land, a bit better of an opportunity and maybe a little bit safer. But I'm looking at the scoot and shoot here, and you've got a couple of orange bands on the wings, kind of like a bright orange.
Yeah. You know, when we were first developing this thing, we had the same worries that you did, you know. And so we recommend people do not go on public property where there's people that you don't know. Do not hunt with this in the woods. Make it out in a wide open field where everybody can see you. And we just said, you know, because these turkeys, it was just like they were hypnotized almost. So I happened to be hunting one day, and I said, and I was out, and I saw some flagging. There was just some orange flagging out in the woods. So I took that flagging and I taped it completely around the decoy, around the bottom of the wings, go across the top of the wings, across the top of him, all the way around him, so it looked like a stop sign out there. And I had two turkeys, and we found it, and I had two turkeys run up, and I killed one at about a foot and a half, and
oh my gosh.
I just wanted to shoot one, and the other one was as close as that one. So they paid absolutely no attention to that orange on those wings. I mean, I crawled right up to them in a wide open field with the orange all the way. And it's just an extra safety precaution that you can use when you're crawling on these turkeys. But again, we always have a camera guy with us, so that adds a little safety protection because we got somebody else looking out for us. But, you know, while we're crawling out there, I look around and I make sure there's nobody else in the area. And it can be safe. You just have to make it safe. Don't do things, like I say, don't get out in areas that are public ground where you don't know. Make sure it's an area you know. And stay out in the open. Don't do it in the woods where somebody might mistake you for a real turkey.
Mike Morgan from Mojo Outdoors is joining us, mojooutdoors.com. We'll have a link on our website at wildmichiganradio.com, and we're talking about the scoot and shoot from Mojo. And it's really interesting because sometimes, you know, you wonder what's going, aside from the obvious, going through a turkey's little tiny brain. Are they focused on that white head where all the blood is rushed out of the head and is puffing up the body, and they're so focused on everything else and the fan and the bird, that what we would see, what we kind of analyze, just doesn't matter to them?
You know, it really doesn't. Again, it seems like when we first started, we were kind of timid about going to them. We'd crawl a little bit and wait and crawl a little bit and wait and call and crawl a little bit and wait. And it just doesn't seem to put the pressure on them. So we started going just directly to them. Don't call, crawl directly to them. And, you know, don't run at them, but just go straight to them in a good speed, and they'll let you know when you get to a certain point. Here they come, and I mean, then it's just time. You better get ready to shoot. A lot of times it's two shotters, because when they get so close, it's hard to, and you know, as exciting as it is, and you're having to drop down, you're laying down or either squatted down behind this thing, and that turkey comes in and he's a foot away. You're trying to shoot him in the head or right at the base of the neck. That's what you've been taught. And it's easy to miss because your pattern hadn't opened up. It's just like shooting with a slug that close.
Sure.
A lot of times I see these guys, they'll shoot once, and then when the turkey gets out there a little bit further, they shoot him and kill him. But I have seen
all right.
6 inches.
We're going to speak more. Mike Morgan, Mojo Outdoors. Find him. WildMichiganRadio.com. Mike, hope you'll hold the line for me. We've got more we want to talk about here. Talking turkey. It's coming up April 20th. You're listening to us on the Michigan Talk Network, wildmichiganradio.com, brought to you by HHA Sports on the Michigan Talk Network.
Send your suggestions, comments, or questions to us here via email at outdoormailbag@gmail.com. Now, back to Wild Michigan with your host, Duran Martinez.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. Excited, man. Excited. Getting very excited. Steelhead are running the rivers. Muskegon, the Grand, Manistee, time to get out and do some steelhead fishing. Cannot wait to get out and do that. And April 20th is when our Michigan turkey season starts. You can purchase leftover licenses over the counter. My girlfriend Sarah Marie and I were out the other day, purchased our turkey license for the 234 hunt. Of course, that is the long hunt throughout the course of the latter part of May, or beginning of May and the end of May. There were still, which I thought was odd, some leftover licenses left for the first season on private land. And again, this was, you know, last week, so they may or may not be there. And, you know, your luck is 50-50 at this point. Either they are or they aren't, but 234 is still wide open if you'd like to purchase licenses for that. Speaking with Mike Morgan, Mojo Outdoors. You know them for the spinning wing decoys that a lot of duck hunters have been using. We've used them, absolutely love them. And really, they really draw attention to ducks. But line of turkey products, turkey decoys. In the first segment, we talked about the Scoot and Shoot, which, believe me, is a great concept. Now, of course, Mojo being known for motorized decoys, you have another one, Mike, called the Quarter Pounder.
Well, we've actually got two. We've got one called a Quarter Pounder, and we've got one called a Shake and Jake. The Shake and Jake decoy is a full body, full strut decoy, and it's got movement in it. It'll rotate side to side about 180 degrees, and it's also got a fan on it. And with a remote control, you can hit the button and the fan will come from a folded up down position all the way into a full strut, full fan position in an upright. And you can control this with a remote control up to about 200 feet. And again, you can stop it, start it any time you want. So a lot of time those big gobblers that need a little extra motivation, that's what to use. I will tell you on these decoys, if you're hunting two-year-old birds, this is a big, aggressive-looking bird, and I have had it. I'm just going to tell you up front and straightforward. This is not a decoy to be hunting little young birds with, you know, because it's, again, it's a big, aggressive strutting decoy, and this is for the 3, 4, 5, those big old birds that you're having trouble with. That's what you want to use is one called the Shake and Jake. Then we have the Quarter Pounder, and it's a smaller size decoy. It's just a quarter of a strutting turkey decoy, and it's got a fan, a full fan that will raise up and down, and it doesn't bother the two-year-old birds. We've had real good luck with it on the younger two-year-old birds. The ones that like to do a lot of the gobbling, you know, they're kind of sassy birds, and they'll come right on up to it. But I have had problems, like I say, with the two-year-old birds with that big Shake and Jake. We use it mainly for the big birds.
Now, I'm looking at the video that's posted up here at mojooutdoors.com. I got to tell you, you guys have thought of everything. You know, we knew with the spinning wing decoys for ducks that was really something when we first saw them hit the market. But now I'm looking at this, absolutely incredible, watching these things work, watching them, you know, raise and lower that fan, and especially the Shake and Jake. Just amazing to see these things work. And at a distance, I can't imagine that they wouldn't fool a hunter.
Oh, they will. They will. And like I say, we're extra careful with them. You know, we try to be careful at all times. Anytime you use sitting behind a decoy, I don't care if it's a static decoy or a motion decoy, you just need to make sure, you know, who's around and nobody, you don't get in the line of fire of anybody else. I know every year there's one or two people, regardless of whether it's a motion or a static decoy, that they get some birdshot at them, and it's not something that you want to have happen.
No, absolutely not. And you know, as when you're shooting 3, 3.5 inch, number, you know, big numbered shot, it's going to leave a mark, and you know, it could do a lot of bad damage. Mike Morgan from Mojo Outdoors is joining us right now here on Wild Michigan. Our website, wildmichiganradio.com, will post the links to Mojo Outdoors on our website. If you don't mind, tell us a little bit about the Tail Chaser and the Tail Chaser Erect. Those are things along the lines of what we were talked about in the first segment about maybe getting really up close and personal with these birds.
Right. What the Tail Chaser and the Tail Chaser Erect are, they're a bracket that actually fits on the barrel of your shotgun that a full fan will mount into. And you can still see down the barrel to where, you can still shoot, you know, use your aiming line of sight. So it doesn't affect that. But we've, quite a few times, we'll take that. You can take the fan off and just carry it in your pack, in your turkey vest. So it doesn't get in the way. The bracket's pretty small. Won't affect your shooting. And if you get into a position to where you get up on the edge of the field and you see a turkey out there, you can just pop that fan on the barrel of your gun
just again the same thing as the scoot and shoot. You can just go directly at them. We crawl right up to them, just with that fan hooked to our gun. The tail chase, the difference in the tail chaser and the tail chaser erect is the erect has a on the bracket. It has two legs that go down to where a lot of times when you're crawling, what we do is we kind of push our shotgun out in front of us and then crawl to it, push it out and crawl to it. Well, the original we made, the tail chaser, didn't have those legs, and when you push that gun out and let go of it, it'd fall over to the side. So, again, this tail chaser erect has got two legs that come down about 6 or 8 inches, and when you push your shotgun out there, it stands erect right there in front of you, so you can push it ahead of you, crawl to it, push it ahead of you, crawl to it. We've had, I know in some of our videos, we had a kid last year that crawled right out to two turkeys out there. He shot one, and then just we said, well, let's see how close you can get to him. Crawl right out there and that other turkey. I don't know if you've ever shot two turkeys, and a lot of times the turkey you don't shoot will come up and attack the other turkey. Well, he crawled right out there and had his gun barrel on the turkey that he had shot, and the other turkey was still trying to attack it. So, I mean, he was 2 inches away, 3 inches away. But we've shot turkeys with these things and actually never had to, I mean, just pick them up right there. We didn't even have to stand up to pick them up. They were, you know, touching it. We've actually tried catching turkeys before. Hadn't caught one yet, but we've had our hands on them.
Oh, man, speaking with Mike Morgan from Mojo Outdoors, believe me, I know about that catching thing. The last one I shot, I thought I hit a good shot. I walk up on him. It took off. I was going to take a second shot at it while I was running, but I didn't want to hit the fan because it was a nice bird. Long story short, I finally caught up to him after about a 150-yard dash, and I laid the chokehold on him.
I heard that.
And I got beat up pretty good.
Sometimes you grab him and you wish you hadn't.
I was at that point in time. My little arms, my little T-Rex arms are not long enough to avoid the beating I got from that thing. But in the end, I won, and it was a nice triple beard. So I was very fortunate, very happy that bird didn't get away. Mike Morgan, Mojo Outdoors, mojooutdoors.com is where you can find him. Mike, roughly, if you could give us like a MSRP on the Shake and Jake and the other motorized decoy.
You know, the Shake and Jake is going to run in there about $69, depending on, you know, what store you go to. The Shake and Jake, the big full-body, full-motion turkey decoy, runs around $119 to $129, again, depending on what store you go to. And it goes all the way down to the, you know, the tail chaser. And the tail chaser erect, you're looking at in the $29 to $39 range.
Yeah, as far as I'm concerned, even at $119, you know, affordable for the amount of use you're going to get out of it. In Michigan, we have the one bird limit,
right.
and then we can hunt fall birds, which is completely different. But you know, we still have that opportunity, and you know, you can use it with multiple people too. It's not like it's a one time deal.
Again,
wherever you're listening, because we have people that listen all over the country, check your guidelines, check your rules first for mechanical decoys during turkey season.
There are a few states, there's about 5 or 6 states that don't allow electronic or mechanical decoys, so you do need to be careful and make sure which ones they are.
Absolutely, and this has been a fun learning experience. Now, you guys have worked with Preston Pittman on putting these things together, Mr. Turkey himself. How did that all go? Because he's been on the show before. He's amazing.
You know, I grew up with, well, I didn't grow up in the same neighborhood, but I've known Preston for 40 years, and we've been friends. And so when we started developing this, you know, I said, let's get Preston. I live in Mississippi. Preston's a Mississippi boy. He doesn't live. Matter of fact, I saw Preston yesterday. We've got a cameraman heading up to the Tennessee governor's hunt this weekend with Preston. We'll be filming him throughout Tennessee and then on up into Kansas. So we do a lot with Preston, always have, and he's just been a great friend. And I don't think Preston was born. I think he was hatched. So, you know, if you want to know something about turkeys, Preston's the one to ask for sure.
All right, Mike Morgan, so appreciate you joining us. MojoOutdoors.com. Find him there. If you missed any of this great interview, man, as always, go to our website, wildmichiganradio.com, and click on the link to the podcast. Absolutely free and available to you 24/7. Thanks to Lucky Buck. Thanks to Dart and Archery. Thanks to HHA Sports. And thanks to Mike Morgan with Mojo Decoys. Listening to it here, it's Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez on the Michigan Talk Network.